The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The NFC's number one seed is still up for grabs. While the Packers have the greatest chance at 59%, according to our football power index, the Saints, Rams, and to a lesser degree, the Seahawks, still have a chance at moving up to secure that first round bye and home field advantage throughout the conference playoffs. We'll be all over a huge game in just a minute that involves a bunch of important playoff implications. But first, welcome in NFL Live alongside Keyshawn Johnson and Dan Orlovsky with Marcus Spears and Adam Schefter, of course, joining us on the show as well. I am Field Yates, and we have a massive, massive game ahead. It is the Seahawks hosting the Washington football team, and if the season ended today, it does not. Those two teams would actually meet in the playoffs as the 4 and 5 seeds. Right now, the Cardinals and Saints are also in line to play one another, as are the Buccaneers and Rams, which would be a fun rematch between Tom Brady and Jared Goff, who, of course, once played as the opposing quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. And the Packers, of course, would have a bye if they could hold on to the number one seed. But let's get right back into that game that we just told you about, Washington and the Seattle Seahawks. And it's important that we get an update from the most plugged-in man in football. That is, of course, Adam Schefter. And Schefter, we've got a few notable injury updates. Let's start in Washington with quarterback Alex Smith.
Well, Field, Alex Smith did not practice today. He was there at practice. He just did not go through drills. Now, Ron Rivera said he would be comfortable if Alex Smith didn't practice all week and could play on Sunday. It's an important game for Washington. You have to figure they'll be careful with Smith. If he can't play, Dwayne Haskins would start. As for rookie running back Antonio Gibson, he was also present at practice, but only working on the side with trainers. Gibson missed last week's game with a turf toe injury. We'll have to see how the rest of the week goes in regards to his availability to face the Seahawks on Sunday. But Washington did sign Lamar Miller off Chicago's practice squad, an indication that Gibson may not be able to go on Sunday.
Yeah, and Peyton Barber also banged up in that backfield a bit. More from Schefter throughout the show, because there's all kinds of news rolling in during this afternoon hour here. But Dan, this Washington defensive front, I mean, we know they're stacked with talent, all sorts of first rounders up front, but the group has really made some strides in recent weeks and been even better than ever before. What do you think has contributed to that?
Yeah, two things stand out. So you mentioned that defensive front and them getting better. So I reached out to a coach on their staff and I said, like, what's the deal? And, you know, I think that people forget that there's two head coaches or two coaches on that staff that have been successful head coaches in the NFL. Obviously, Ron Rivera, but then Jack Del Rio. And Jack Del Rio said, like, we're starting to really trust each other up front. But then you're also looking at, like, this is really good coaching. This is coaching that knows how to teach, and it's given those players, they've got the clout for those players to go, all right, we're good. How do we become really good to great? And that's what's happened in Washington over the past couple weeks, and they trust their coaching.
Yeah, Dan, you said one word that sticks out to me, athletes, right? Because this is a similar regard in which we saw the San Francisco 49ers last year. Listen, here's the difference. D-line play. All right, if you have an Aaron Donald, guys benefit from Aaron Donald being on that defensive line. That's not to take away from Brockers and all of those other guys. But Aaron Donald creates that. The Washington football team has three guys like that that can win one-on-ones on any given play, and that's how we saw the 49ers operate. So Jack Del Rio has the freedom and athleticism. Dan showed you with Chase Young dropping out. Vitally important, man, to switch up looks. You can disguise pressure when you have athletes up front on the defensive line, and Jack is doing a tremendous job. He understands the guys that he has in the dynamic of this front. front seven that he's creating havoc with. And this is the team. Like, this is the team that was like San Francisco last year. You do not want to get behind and get into pass rush downs, pass rush situations. Third and seven plus is the worst down you can be in against this defensive front. And not to mention something we talked about a few weeks ago. They are tall, long, and lanky. They get their hands up and bat balls. So third down is a hell of a down for offenses trying to convert.
Yeah, you certainly know that Swagoo loves breaking down a defensive line filled with a bunch of former first-round picks like himself. But let's talk about the other side of this game, Key. And this Seahawks team, a couple weeks ago, facing off against a frisky NFC East team, the New York Giants, came out and was flat. They basically spent 60 minutes admiring what the Giants were doing.
Well, I think
are you concerned at all or no?
I think when you look at the field, a lot of times teams think things are cakewalks. They look at the Giants and they say, okay, we just got rid of Arizona. We went to Philly. We smashed them. The Giants coming in, Colt McCoy. It's not that they didn't prepare. They just didn't play well, especially on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, for the most part, over the last 3 weeks, they've allowed the fewest yards and only allowing teams to average a little bit over 12 points a game. So the defense is solid enough. I think when they got Jamal Adams back in, you go back to the beginning of the season, Jamal Adams lights out against Atlanta. We were like, oh, my God, what a great – then they lost him, and that defense kind of disappeared. They get him back. They acquire Carlos Dunlap. Bobby Wagner's playing like Bobby Wagner. K.J. Wright, Rasheem Green. You start looking at that defense. They're kind of getting back to form and dominance. You play against Washington, they'll dominate them again because Washington's offense is not very good.
The only thing I will add when it comes to this football game, if Seattle is going to win this game, their offensive line better play outstanding. It is not just Russell. It's not just those receivers. That offensive line better have one of their best games this season against that Washington front.
Yeah, and they've had some moving parts up front recently, has Seattle. So they better find a way to get things right. Their huge, huge game on tap.
What if in 2024 you got a little bit better every day? When you're learning a new language with Babbel, that's exactly what you're doing. And if Babbel can help you start speaking a new language in just 3 weeks, imagine what you could do in a full year. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Try Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. They have over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/tackle. Get 60% off at babbel.com/tackle. Spelled BABBEL.com/tackle. Rules and restrictions may apply.
One of the great weekly honors in the NFL is a ride on the Dan Wagon. So, who's the pick here?
I like the fact that you call it a weekly honor. Like, it's esteemed in that way. We've had so many good. This guy just, he's earned a right. It's time that, I'm not going to say his name. I want them to read. Yeah, here it comes. Ooh, look at that, the key. My man Travis Kelce is on the Dan Wagon. He's the best player in football that's not playing quarterback this year. Listen, this dude's got 5 straight 1,000-yard seasons. You want to play him in man coverage? I'm going to go vertical. Make the contested catches because I can. That's why I got 90 for 1,250 and 9 tutties. Crossing routes, scoop the ball off the ground. I could do that. Dude, this guy's a magnet for open space. Oh. He just finds clean voids. He's got, like, not eyes behind his head. He's got eyes all over his head. That's why he's constantly, like, he's Han Solo. He's the one and only. He's a solo act, and that's why I apologize that I haven't gotten him on the Dan Wagon up until this point. He makes that offense go. He's fantastic. He's the best route-running tight end I've ever seen in my life. He's on the Dan Wagon.
This is a franchise that once had Tony Gonzalez, and we debate whether Tony Gonzalez, at least there is a conversation about whether he is still the best tight end in franchise history. That's how good Travis Kelce has
Tony been. Gonzalez was never on the Dan Wagon, though.
Ooh. Maybe there's time for him later. Let's take a look at what Travis Kelce's been able to do this season. He's been split out or in the slot as an outside receiver on 73% of his routes this season. And according to Next Gen Stats, Kelce has had the 4th highest double team rate at those pre-snap alignments this season. Check out Tyreek Hill just ahead of Travis Kelce, too, as defenses are faced with an absolute enigma defending this Chiefs offense. More on the Bucs offense in a moment, but we have to begin with some news from Adam Schefter involving one of their running backs.
Well, yeah, Field, that's exactly correct. Ronald Jones, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back, was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list today. That in addition to the fact that he also had pins put in his fractured pinky. That puts him into serious question as to whether he'd even be able to play on Sunday for Tampa Bay. But Ronald Jones now on the reserve COVID list, and if he can't play, Leonard Fournette would. Obviously, some other reserve COVID notes as well. The Baltimore Ravens hit hard by the virus this year. Short time ago, placed three wide receivers, Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin, James Prochet on the reserve COVID list, and also DJ Moore, the Panthers wide receiver, came off the list and is on track to play this weekend.
Man, Shefty, it was just looking like the Ravens were out of the woods, and now three more players added to the list.
Amazing.
Plenty of news coming through. We'll be sure to get back to it in just a minute here, Shefty. But on this Bucs offense, Dan, you asked for the Bucs to reevaluate their formula during the bye week. And how about this? They increased their play action and motion percentages by nearly 10% on Sunday. And while they possessed the ball for the second fewest amount of time of any team in a win this season, they scored on 56% of their drives, also a 10% increase from their mark entering the weekend. So, Dan, that's what you've been asking for all season. You've been saying more motion, more play action. You saw a difference in that offense. Right?
Nah. You know that saying, like, men why, women lie, and numbers don't? Ah, they did in this case. Because, yes, the percentage of their snaps of play action, pass, or motion were up. Yeah. Because they ran 48 plays. I mean, if you motioned four more plays than you did the previous week, great, we're up 10%. If you ran three or four more play action passes, great, we're up. Because you only snapped the ball 48 times. The reality was, again, everything was hard for this offense. If you watch it, like, they got 3 points out of their 24 because the Hail Mary pass interference. They got 7 points because on third down, Brady throws a check down to Shady McCoy, and he gets a hit to the helmet, questionable call by Harrison Smith. That leads to a touchdown. And then on third and five, Brady navigates the pocket and throws that bomb to Scotty Miller. So, like, again, everything is hard. There's not a lot of things that are easy on this offense. And I'd say the easiest thing that I could say is, like, you got to burn your ego before it burns you. Like, right now, whoever's got the ego in that offense has got to let it go. If it's Bruce Arians and you think you could run your offense that you had a ton of success with in the NFL, it's not working that well. If it's Tom Brady who's come down and said, you know what, I want to show everyone that I can be successful in an offense that I haven't had in New England, you got to drop that because it's not working. I can't sit here and say that I'm more confident in a Super Bowl run than I am in a week in an opening round playoff victory.
Interesting. Yeah, well, you know, the interesting part about this to me is that, remember, Tom Brady signed with the Bucs in part because all these weapons he'd have, right?
Yeah.
Well, last year in the first eight games of the season with what was perceived by many as a very weak group of pass catchers, Tom Brady averaged 281 passing yards. This year, 268 passing yards per game. Key, so how concerning are those numbers for you, if at all?
Not at all. I think when you look at the column of the W's and the L's, that's all I really care about as a football player and as a head coach. Tom Brady's 23 for a little less than 200 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. That's all I care about. I care about the W's, and I know what happened is, much like you said, we've been watching Tom Brady for about 15 years really deal at the quarterback spot, Dan. And so our minds and our eyes have told us this is what Tom Brady does. Right. How about the fact that we just want to win? Never mind five wides out, never mind four, never mind empty personnel, never mind pushing the ball down the field. Being efficient, playing solid defense, and getting out with W's is all that matters.
Yeah, we know W's matter, but that it don't look good. And the W's mattered in Pittsburgh, and we starting to see their house fall apart. Listen, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are no better team than when we saw them earlier this year. Yeah. And when we start talking about Tampa, they did not sign a quarterback to a two-year, $50 million deal to take a year to figure out what they're going to do offensively. They brought Tom Brady in to be Super Bowl relevant this year. This year, not next year. All of that time, he's 43 at that. So when you look at Tampa, and yes, they're 8-5, they're trying to backdoor into the playoffs and have some successful things happen, but this team is not performing well. Like, that's the bottom line. So now we get into the conversation of the real part of the season, the second half, the playoffs and what can they do. When we're projecting and looking at how this team has functioned, they are not going to win playoff games like this. They are not going to make it to the Super Bowl. And somebody, if somebody on the panel at NFL Live or somebody within that Tampa Bay organization can call me and say, yeah, we had a plan for the first year to be figuring things out and trying to see if we can get it going, and then next year will be the year with a 43-year-old quarterback, then I'll sit back and won't ever say anything about it. But that ain't what the hell they thought. Right. They thought when Tom Brady came, like everybody in America, that when Tom Brady was inserted with all of this talent, that they were going to be a Super Bowl contender. And if anybody has watched Tampa play, they do not look like a Super Bowl contender right now.
And I agree, because here's the thing. Like, as we go, we have 3 weeks left. You know, like, the playoffs start in 3 weeks. Are they better than the Packers?
How much time you need?
Are they better than the Saints? Nope. Are they better than the Rams? Nope. Are they better than the Seattle Seahawks? Nope. So now, at best, I could put them five. I look at them like I look at the Giants. Like, hey, the Giants play really good defense, and if the quarterback plays good football, I can believe in you.
Oh, Dan, come on, man. Stop.
That's the way I see
it. Dan, stop.
Keith, what are they doing? What do they do offensively that you point to and says, that's going to carry them in the playoffs?
First of all, forget New England and Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady could turn on the switch at any given moment. You know that and I know that. All it takes is to get into the playoffs.
Of course,
something that they kind of teetering on. I think they'll get in. They got Atlanta twice. I think they'll get in to the playoffs. Once they get in the playoffs, all bets are off for everything.
Do you believe in them more than those four teams that I said?
Would you give me the teams again?
Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, and the Rams.
I don't believe in them more than I believe in the Rams. Green Bay is interesting.
If
Green Bay has home field advantage throughout, taking Tampa down to that cold could be a little bit of a problem for them.
All right, Swaggy, final word to you here. We know you certainly had some passion about this. Where do you land on the Bucs?
Man, listen, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ain't ready to make no run at the Super Bowl. And we could talk about, one and done in the playoffs. We all get it. We all play in this game. But the other good teams are one and done as well. So give us something to see if you can really do it. And right now, they haven't. That's why we having this conversation. We can talk about, they could turn it on. No, they've been trying to turn it on. We've been listening to their press conferences about what they trying to do and how they trying to get this thing in order. Dude, we in week 15. Yeah. Like, all of these other teams are trending in the right direction. Tampa comes off a bye week and looks the exact same as a football team.
There is nothing that makes me think they can win a Super Bowl.
I can't with y'all. They won the game.
Here's the good
news. They won.
The good news is the debate will be settled on the field. But that's not the only team that's interesting right now in the NFC South, as we have a couple of injury updates. Let's get back to Adam Schefter here. And Adam, of course, the biggest injury update in football right now surrounds Drew Brees.
And he still has not been activated off the injured reserve list. And unless he's activated, he can't play. And the longer this goes on, the more you wonder. But we do know this. We know that the Saints did not want to put him back into a game until he was close to or at 100% recovered from the 11 fractured ribs and the punctured lung. And we also know that he did not have full range of motion. We'll see whether that comes back this week. If not, Taysom Hill. Meanwhile, Daniel Jones is dealing with a sprained ankle in addition to his hamstring injury. So two leg injuries here that cloud his status for Sunday's game and whether or not he'll be able to play against the Arizona Cardinals if he can't play, or Cleveland Browns. If he can't play, it'll be Colt McCoy going up against his former team. And also, we should mention that Julian Edelman was back at practice today for the New England Patriots, and the 49ers opened the window for George Kittle to return to play, though Deebo Samuel will not play again this season.
Okay, so potentially some reinforcement for New England and San Francisco on the way. Thank you, Shefty. Back to you in just a little bit.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back on NFL Live, and Miami needs a big win over New England on Sunday to maintain their wild card spot. And for Tua Tagovailoa, he hopes to end the Patriots' streak of 9 straight wins against rookie starting quarterbacks That tied for the sixth longest streak in the Super Bowl era, according to Elias. If you're wondering about the last rookie quarterback to beat Bill Belichick and the Patriots, how about Geno Smith in 2013? A trivia question right there.
Okay, Gino Machino.
Swagoo, no rookie yourself, but let's talk about how concerning those numbers might be for Tua on Sunday facing off against Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Phil, obviously you concerned because Bill Belichick and his history against rookie quarterbacks. But Tua has a slight advantage, man. Okay. He has Brian Flores as a head coach who understands the type of defense that Bill Belichick is going to try to deploy, especially to confuse young quarterbacks. So you would think throughout the practice week that Flores will give some of them old New England Patriot looks and try to simulate a lot of real-time things. Look, every week in practice, we go out and we try to get a plan and we get a look at plays based on what guys have been doing on film up until that point. But Tua and Brian Flores, like I said, have a slight advantage, man. Flores has been in the defensive meeting rooms with Bill Belichick. He understands how his mind works, how those play calls work. I played for Nick Saban. I guarantee you I can go into Bill Belichick's defense and play it right now based on what we do from a philosophical standpoint. Because those guys, no, not physically, y'all. Don't get it, Mr. True. Not physically. I'm talking about from a mental standpoint because it really doesn't change much. They add nuance based on who the opponent is, but the foundation is the same. So I expect Tua to see some things that he's familiar with.
Hey, Swagoo, Belichick led up 173 to Cam Akers last week on the ground. He might call you up if you feel like you got a pretty good understanding of that system, my friend. I know you can give him at least 15, 20 snaps a game.
Let's go.
But let's get back to Tua, I suppose. Dan, it's a quarterback-driven league. What have you seen from him so far in the early portions of his career?
I'm so excited to play this tape. Athletic intelligence. Like, what is that? It's feel. It's reactions. The feel. The instincts at the quarterback position. We don't talk about that enough. That's athletic intelligence. Tua's got it. He will need it in bunches against the Patriots this weekend.
I think it's very impressive to see what Tua is able to do with the talent that's around him. I can't name anybody other than Devontae Parker on the offensive side of the ball. Sure, I mean, it's like, he's out there playing with a bunch of guys with uniforms on. And when you look at it, I go to the offensive coordinator in Shane Gailey, who has him playing lights out. Guy has 9 touchdowns, 1 interception in 6 starts, and he has them sitting on an opportunity to steal the division from the Buffalo Bills as Buffalo goes to the Denver Broncos. So when you look at it, this is not big boy football to him. He played in the SEC, nothing new. Nothing new at all. He's been able to grasp the system, come in. A lot of people questioned at 3-3, why would you make this move? Clearly, the Miami Dolphins knew what they had in Tua at quarterback.
And we'll see who he has available on Sunday. A lot of pass catchers banged up down there in Miami. Let's take a look, though, at the AFC playoff pictures. The Dolphins need to keep winning games to fend off the Ravens for the final wild card spot in the AFC. And keep an eye on the AFC South as well, as the Colts still have a 38% chance to win the division, according to our Football Power Index. They'll have to gain a game on the Titans, though, who currently own the tiebreaker. Let's get back to the Ravens now, where Lamar Jackson had a monster game on the ground Monday night, totaling a season-best 124 rushing yards. So Jacksonville, their next opponent, knows it'll have its hands full with the Ravens quarterback on Sunday. And here's Jags coach Doug Marrone on how they are preparing for Lamar Jackson.
In order, I think, to simulate him, I mean, you'd have to go out there and get, you know, get a truly an Olympic sprinter, you know. If you were in a college program, you might go and ask someone on your, you know, team to go ahead and simulate that and run around. You know, I remember in college when we played Boston College and they had Doug Flutie, we would just, you know, run him around and have the defense run and chase him, you know what I'm saying, all over the place.
All right, Marcus, you had to prepare for guys like Mike Vick while you were playing. Is there really any way to truly be ready for guys that basically are once-in-a-generation athletes at quarterback?
Hell no, Phil, it's not. And look, I've tried to stay away from this analogy on TV, but I can't help myself but do it. You don't think Nate Robinson trained for that fight against Jake Paul? You don't think that he tried to simulate the things that was going to happen? It's a different animal when you get in that ring. And yes, we tried to simulate Michael Vick when I was playing for the Cowboys. It ain't none. You can have a wide receiver try it. You can have the fastest guy on your team try it. But until you get in them game time situations, emotions. There is nothing like seeing it up close and personal. I got all of this stuff coming to my head when I made that Nate Robinson analogy. The man in the arena. Don't talk about these players because you ain't never seen it or felt it before. It's different, man. It's different. You think that you're practicing for it. You think that you're simulating it. Your coaches feel good because you've been stopping plays and guys are where they need to be. You don't think last week the Cleveland Browns defensive line said we can't let Lamar Jackson out of the pocket? They still did to the tune of 100-something plus yards. So, yeah, that's like Mike Tyson said. Everybody got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Mm. Hey, you made it almost 2 weeks without using that Nate Robinson. That you get a trophy for that. That's well done. That's a serious.
Nate, I love you, man. I'm sorry, but I love you, Nate. I had to use it.
That's major patience right there.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
With more, Adam Schefter and Marcus Spears in the building. Adam, teams have already started looking at front office candidates, and one of those names hits close to home here at ESPN.
Well, Field, here's the very latest. Monday Night Football analyst Lewis Riddick spent today interviewing for the general manager job of the Houston Texans. That is the first GM job that Lewis is interviewing for this week. Later this week on Friday, he's scheduled to interview for the Detroit Lions general manager job. And he's also heard from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have expressed interest but have not scheduled him to discuss their general manager job. So he's talking to the Texans today, talking to the Lions Friday, talking with the Jaguars. We'll see if those talks go anywhere. So clearly, Lewis is square in the mix for a GM job, as he should be.
Come on, somebody, please. Look, this is not good for ESPN because we all know and applaud and appreciate the work that Lou does. We all love working with Lou, but this is something I know he wants. This is something that I've had a conversation with him about, and I don't think there's a better dude to put in that position in order to get a franchise going in the right direction. It's personal, but it's also seeing the type of work he puts in into this job. It is the planning, the preparation, how he delivers, the calm, steady hand that Lou Riddick has, man. I'm telling you right now, to these three organizations, especially Houston and Detroit, who are interviewing him, you will be getting the best of the best. So, look, I know everybody's happy for Lou, but I thought that we needed to say this. If this helps, this is his official recommendation point of view from a lot of people here at ESPN, man. So, good luck to you, Lou. I hope it happens for you. It's a big loss for us, but we know that this is a really, really good thing that you want to get accomplished and show that you can do this work, man.
Quite a week for Lewis Riddick. Three separate or potential interviews plus a Monday Night Football game. And Swagoo, you might be hired as his agent sometime soon. We all wish the very best to Lewis, who has worked incredibly hard to get to this point. You know, Justin Herbert makes every Chargers game worth watching, as will be the case on Thursday when they make the short trip to Las Vegas. The Raiders, by the way, will be without four defensive starters. Justin Herbert could still break the all-time rookie record and for both passing yards and passing touchdowns this season, while he could move past Baker Mayfield's touchdown record this weekend. He is on pace to finish just 41 yards shy of Andrew Luck's record set in 2012 for passing yards. And that's right. At one point in his career, Drew Brees was a promising young Chargers quarterback, and now we have Adam Schefter with more breaking news on Drew Brees. What do you have for us, Schefty?
Well, Phil, the Saints designated Drew Brees to return off injury reserve, which means he's now eligible to play if they see that he's fit to do that. Now, they'll again get a look at him at practice this week, make a determination as to how close to 100% he is, whether he has full range of motion. And if they feel comfortable with Drew Brees, then he would have a chance to start Sunday's big game against the Kansas City Chiefs. If not, more Taysom Hill. But again, the news of the afternoon, Drew Brees designated to come off IR.
A small step forward. Shefty, thank you as always for latest information.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Packers have the best chance to earn the NFC's number one seed at 59%. That according to our ESPN Football Power Index, who are ahead of the Saints with a 30% chance. Aaron Rodgers leads the league with 39 passing touchdowns, and with another, he'll record his third season with 40 passing touchdowns, breaking a tie with Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and Dan Marino for the most all time. But Green Bay only boasts one, that's right, one win against a team that has a winning record. That was all the way back in week 3 against the New Orleans Saints. So Marcus, I got to ask you, they don't make the schedule, but is it at all concerning that the Packers have just one quote-unquote good win this year, and that was way back in September?
Look at this man's face.
Phil, you asked me a question. Let me ask you a question. Who in the hell play quarterback for the Packers?
Yeah, a bad man, as Stephen A. would like to say. Aaron okay. Rodgers.
All right. I'll take it from here, Phil. Thank you. Listen, that's why I don't have any concern, because look at the level he's playing on. Firmly supplanted in the MVP conversation. We are seeing what he's doing now that he has all of his weapons at his disposal, between Devontae obviously being one of the top receivers in the league, Lazard, Valdez, Scanlon, Tonyan has stepped up big, and Aaron Jones in the backfield is super underrated. So this offense can go with anybody. I feel better about their defense when they can get after the pass with the Smith brothers. I'm concerned about their run defense. But outside of that, no, I'm not concerned, man. Aaron Rodgers makes up. Listen, when we start having conversations about the greats and the greatest ever, when you get into that conversation, you make up for deficiencies. That's the only way you can get in it. So, no, I'm not concerned.
Yeah, he certainly gives you a chance. Every Sunday you're out there with him on the field. It helps even more when you can just not play at all key and just advance. But so how important is that first round bye to the Packers, especially in a year when there's one per conference?
I think it's extremely important, right? Health-wise, yes, you want to rest up, all of that. But the weather. I think a lot of people forget about the weather in Green Bay. I've played there when it's been -8. Nasty. And it did not feel good. Like, sitting on those benches over there.
Everything freezing.
Shaking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like when you think about the teams that they could potentially face, New Orleans is a dome team.
Yep.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's 70 degrees or something in Tampa right now. Seattle, it's not extremely cold in Seattle. And then the Rams and Jared Goff going out of that new pretty stadium into Lambeau. And I know everybody's sitting there at home saying, oh, New York won there with Eli and Atlanta did it with Michael Vick. It can be done. Yes, but it's hella cold. And you know, Dan, coming out of domes and going into this on that bench, no, I don't want no parts of it.
I remember playing there on Sunday Night Football one time, and the stuff that comes out of your nose when you're sick, freezing.
Man, them so damn cold. Balls feel like bricks.
Yeah, frozen boogers. But, listen, with the weather, we talk about Aaron Rodgers all season long, rightfully so. Devontae Adams, rightfully so. You know what they got? A super underrated tailback, Aaron Jones. It's their best run-blocking offensive line in football. They average 5 yards per carry when they run in between the tackles. You think that'll play in the weather? Aaron Jones, that super underrated tailback, he averages 2.5 yards a carry after contact. It's the best in the NFL. So Rodgers is remarkable, and the pass game is ridiculous. Their run game is just as good. We need to talk about it more, and it will pay off in the playoffs.
Well, certainly, I mean, just the idea of one team having a bye. I know, Key, you got me cold. We got 20 inches of snow coming to Connecticut tonight, so I feel you guys on the weather impact. And we've got time for one more thing, and this morning we got a bit of a surprise. Take a listen to Swagoo on PGA Tour Radio.
Oh, no.
I actually like golf, but like everybody, man, it's a love-hate relationship, and I can't do it enough in order to get good. And the problem when you have some type of athletic prowess is when you're not good at something, it really bothers you. So I've been fighting with golf for a while now, and I love being out there with the guys.
We don't have any tape. We do have some photo evidence that Swagoo does every once in a while tee it up. That courtesy of Booger Orlovsky, you're our resident golf junkie. Thoughts here?
I mean, first of all, the socks are disturbing.
The gear, right?
The gear. Tuck your daggone shirt in, bruh. And then your alignment. Like, where are you? Where are you hitting a big hook or something? Like, I mean, I wish we had video. I wish we had video because right now, with that alignment, I'm yelling far.
Oh no!
We found some video. No. Break it down.
Oh my goodness!
Watch.
Oh my goodness! Oh. Your golf swing looked like a folded up lawn chair. That thing.
Let this man defend himself.
Here go the shot. This is the shot.
Right here?
This is the shot.
Boom! There you go. Practice Let's makes go. Perfect, Swaggoo.
Hey, man, you know why you're bad at golf? Because your golf swing stinks. That's why you're bad at golf.
Man.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Here we go. T and I let it fly, Key.
You in a hoodie?
Man, I don't worry about what I'm in.
Where'd that ball? We all like
that
swing.
That ball went way wrong.
That's in the trees.
That's why I was aiming. I was aiming up
in the trees.
No, it had to hook.
In the trees.
Dan is pure. Dan is pure.
That's number one.
That's nice.
That's number one.
You know, quarterbacks. It's because quarterbacks just spend their time playing golf, man.
That's in the middle of the fairway.
Dan, I had to get it up over a house.
Hey, y'all, I wasn't going to do this, but I got to get Dan. I wasn't going to do this. Dan had a lot of time to play golf. Me and Key was playing football.
Wow, we just went there. Hey, we're going to leave it right there.
Okay. You're dead to me.
Wow.
You're dead to me. Our friendship is over.
I wouldn't have
did you
like
that. Our friendship is over. You are now Marcus.
Damn.
Guys, a closing thought here. What makes ESPN what it is
You've
is the people.
All day.
Today is the final show for one of our producers, Jeff Wheatley, and we can't thank you enough for all you've done. You are the consummate teammate and pro. You have been a massive, huge part of the success of NFL Live and a lot of football program here at ESPN.
Yes, sir.
We will miss working with you daily, my friend. Be well. On to the next.
Love you, Wheat.